If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
During a campaign rally in Georgia last week, President Trump said that if he loses the election, he might leave the country, at which point 194 countries simultaneously shouted, "Not it."
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with Senator Amy Klobuchar. But first, a closer look.
With President Trump down by a wide margin in the latest polls, his campaign has landed on a closing argument, spread coronavirus to as many people as possible, and threatened to leave the country if he loses. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. As of Saturday, more than 26 million people had already voted in the presidential election, breaking records everywhere from Alabama to Georgia to Texas. People lined up for hours across the country, including at some iconic sites that have been converted into polling places like Fenway Park.
The enthusiasm was high among voters casting their ballots at Fenway Park.
I wanted to vote at Fenway because we've all been cooped up inside for a little bit, and I got my junkies, and I'm ready to vote for Joe Biden, but I wish I was voting for Bernie Sanders. But it's a team sport.
Fantastic. Even after the pandemic's over, I hope Boston holds every election at Fenway. I'd love to see the exit polling afterward. Well, Wolf, I'm a little shocked by these numbers, but apparently 58% voted for your mother. Usually the only election at Fenway are landslides in favor of Jeter sucks. And if you're wondering what that one dot is, so my uncle, who's a bigwig at Fleet, got me the bank's tickets on Saturday, so I invite Matty Snakes, and he's all, "Can I bring my friend?" And I say, "Sure," because I owe him from that time his cousin, who's a statey, helped me out with that DUI. But Matty doesn't mention his friend's a Yankee fan. Kid shows up with the hat and everything, and on top of that, when Matty asks if we want beers, the guy says, "I'll take an IPA," and I'm like, "IPA, how about a Bud Light?" And you shut the up. That was like a little play. So tens of millions of people across the country have already lined up to vote or mailed in their ballots. Now, we don't know what that tells us about the outcome, except that it can't be great news for Trump since he's currently trailing in national polls around 10 points and he's running out of time to make up the gap, which might explain why he's been making a series of increasingly bizarre threats about what he'll do if he loses.
If I lose to him, I don't know what I'm going to do. I will never speak to you again.
Could you imagine if I lose my whole life? What am I going to do? I'm going to say, I lost to the worst candidate in the history of politics. I'm not going to feel so good. Maybe I'll have to leave the country. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know if you heard, but we can't go anywhere. And I know everyone got excited about that last part, but even if he did leave the country, I'm pretty sure he'd go somewhere that had the internet. I only want him to leave the country because he'll be so broke, he'll have to backpack through Europe with a Eurorail pass and sleep in cheap hostels.
Excusez-moi, où est le, there's a McDonald's.
Also, I didn't think I could be any more motivated to vote against Trump until I heard him say if he loses, he'll never speak to us again. I would give anything to not hear Trump's voice anymore. He's everywhere, our phones, our TVs. He's even my GPS voice now.
We love to head northeast on Main Street and then turn left in 1,000 feet, don't we, folks? And you're hearing it more and more. Jug handle. It's a jug handle, folks. Don't we love our jug handles? You know what I always say? Why do they call it a jug handle? Who drinks out of jugs anymore? Am I right? We don't drink out of the jugs. What I'm saying, you understand. But the fake news, they'll never report it. Oh, they love their jug handles. Crooked streets.
Why are we in the middle of a lake? Trump never shuts up in part because he wants to make us feel he's inevitable, like he's an immutable part of our lives, that there will never be a day when we don't have to wake up 12 different psychotic news stories and say something like, Trump accuses Eiffel Tower of working with Bigfoot to give him COVID. Republicans say they haven't seen the tweet. We can't have that. We can't have a country where we don't have to listen to the most irritating man in the world every goddamn day. If Joe Biden is elected, it'll be like having your retiree dad in office. He'll talk to you for about 5 minutes a week and then say, you need any money? All right, here's your mother. So tens of millions of Americans are filling out mail ballots and pouring into polling places as we speak. And you could tell which constituencies Trump is doing especially poorly with because he's not subtle about pandering to them. For example, he's added a very pathetic refrain to his rallies, begging women who live in the suburbs to like him.
I saved you suburbs, women. Suburban women. You're supposed to love Trump. Suburban women, they should like me more than anybody here tonight. So can I ask you to do me a favor? Suburban women, will you please like me?
2 weeks left in the campaign, and he's starting to sound like late 70s Woody Allen. Suburban women don't like me very much. Once I went on a date to a strip mall, I thought... can you guys remember how good the Boston accent was? Yeah, he was supposed to show... Just go. It was good. By the way, remember... You guys remember when this wet sandwich over here wrapped up one of his speeches with please clap and everybody on both sides of the aisle made fun of him until he disappeared forever, and yet Trump begs people to please like me and 40% of the nation still thinks he's some kind of unstoppable warrior king? Seriously, our president is so desperate for the votes of suburban women, he's starting to sound like a divorced dad on the prowl. Suburban women, will you please like me? I don't know any restaurants in the city. Do you think suburban women were maybe, just maybe, turned off a smidge by the affair you had with the porn star? You should try pulling that one at Ann Taylor.
Now, before you answer, my wife had just given birth, and Stormy was a 10.
And then there are seniors, a group Trump won handily in 2016 that he's now struggling with in key states like Florida. Last week, Trump held an indoor event with seniors in Florida where he touted a last-minute and likely illegal scheme to send cash cards for prescription drugs to every senior before the election.
I'm honored to be here in Fort Myers to reaffirm my solemn pledge to America's seniors. It's so important to me. I happen to be a senior. I will protect you, I will defend you, and I will fight for you with every ounce of energy and conviction that I have.
He can't even say the words energy and conviction with energy and conviction. He sounds like a pastor reading rap lyrics at an obscenity hearing. Face down, ass up. That's the way we like to F. Whenever he reads off a script, he sounds like his COVID meds just kicked in.
They gave me an experimental cocktail of Regeneron mixed with NyQuil, Valium, and Lunesta. Let's have a hand for Lunesta Moth, folks. A true patriot. Suburban women love him.
Also, you don't have to say, I happen to be a senior. We know you're a senior from, you know, everything about you. Your tweets are like email forwards. Your preferred method of transportation is golf cart. And you grip that podium the way my grandma grips the steering wheel. You look like you're going 5 miles an hour in the passing lane. But hey, at least you dance like a young person.
I call this move roach caught in a glue trap.
But no, I thought maybe if I snuck up on it, you know, I thought if I didn't think about it, just jump. But no amount of pathetic pandering is going to magically turn Trump's numbers around, mainly because we're now heading into a third wave of the coronavirus pandemic, which scientists are warning could be the worst yet, and Trump is doing nothing. He's letting a deadly virus rip through the country unabated. Worse, he seems like he's doing everything he can to spread the disease after appearing to catch it himself at a White House super spreader event, and even acting like it was a good thing, calling it a blessing from God, suggesting he's immune now, and that he feels powerful like Superman, when, if anything, he has the grammar and syntax of Bizarro.
Women suburban like no Bizarro.
That one was for all the seniors watching this on Tuesday morning on their iPhone 6. For example, at that same Florida event, as hundreds of Americans die every day and 10 states recorded record high COVID cases, Trump once again told seniors that the virus was on the verge of disappearing.
The light at the end of the tunnel is near. We are rounding the turn. I say that all the time. Some of the media doesn't like hearing it, but I say it all the time. We're rounding that turn.
You've been saying that for months. If you're always rounding the turn, then you're actually just going in circles, which is something Trump has experience with since he spends a good chunk of his time mindlessly wandering around the White House lawn like he's looking for a Frisbee in a neighbor's yard.
Mind if I look for my disc? Me and some buddies were playing froth and I accidentally let one rip.
Trump keeps going from state to state, holding super spreader rallies where people are tightly packed in without masks or social distancing. Even in states experiencing surges and hospitalizations and caseloads like Wisconsin, he keeps spreading lies about masks, and his events have repeatedly been linked to outbreaks from Tulsa to Minnesota. Just today, he once again attacked the nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, calling him a disaster. At this point, it's impossible to conclude anything other than the fact that Trump and his allies are actively trying to get people sick. What more could he be doing at this point? Letting people crowd surf at his rallies? Check. And then chucking hats you touched into the crowd right before testing positive for COVID? Check. Soon he's going to travel with a mascot named COVID Larry. He'll hand out kisses to whoever cheers the loudest. That's the story most voters are laser focused on. The president and his party are actively getting people sick. Trump and the GOP clearly do not care how many Americans die from this disease. They're more upset about Facebook and Twitter not letting them spread obvious bull about a New York Post story. Even the Post's own reporters didn't want to put their names on. The out-of-control pandemic that is once again spiking across the country and the economic misery that comes with it are the stories that matter most. And Trump and the GOP can't just talk them away no matter how hard they try. That's why they're unraveling, inciting violence against their opponents and spinning wild conspiracy theories. So over the last few days, Trump has repeatedly called for Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, to be thrown in jail even after a right-wing terrorist plot to kidnap Whitmer was uncovered. And this weekend, two of his most obsequious toadies floated a psychotic and vile charge against Hunter Biden.
There is a further analysis of the subpoena's handwriting, and it suggests that the subpoena was served by an FBI agent whose name is Joshua Wilson, and over the last 5 years, he has been working on child pornography issues. Connect the dots. If an FBI agent is working on child pornography issues for 5 years, why is he subpoenaing the laptop of Hunter Biden? Is there a connection here? Should this suggest that there's a child pornography issue here on that laptop?
Well, I think he just made the connection. Again, this is what the FBI, I think, has to come clean about.
So was the FBI agent who served the subpoena investigating child pornography, Senator?
Well, you just read the news report. I can't comment any further.
These rotten, soulless husks are just doing Pizzagate all over again, and they didn't even add any new details. They just did a search and replace with Hunter Biden in for Hillary Clinton. I mean, at least punch it up a little bit. Come on, it's season four. Add an evil twin or a talking cat. And, you know, everyone's focused on Wisconsin cheese turd Ron Johnson here, and rightly so, but let's not forget Maria Bartiromo, who is also a true crazy person, and you can just tell from the way she talks. She's got that vibe of an aunt who spends all her time reading about alien autopsies on internet message boards. They're hiding the bodies at Fort Knox. I'd say Fox should fire Bartiromo for spreading such a baseless and grotesque claim, but then Fox would still hire the replacement, so it's not like it would be better. Like how it's a good idea for the Jets to get a new QB until you remember the Jets would be in charge of picking the new QB. Oh, we like this kid. Strong arm, good speed. Get skittish when he hears loud noises. So don't boo, you guys, please. If you boo, it's bad. The reason they're trying to slime the Bidens is because they can't actually talk about Trump's horrendous record. And now, with 2 weeks until the election, as millions of people line up to vote early and Biden widens his lead in national polls, the president has been as erratic as ever. He's concocting a harebrained scheme with his Italian Dracula lawyer to spread disinformation about the Biden family, calling for political opponents to be thrown in jail, inciting violence against the governor of Michigan, laying the groundwork for a sequel to Bush v. Gore, begging suburban women to like him, threatening to leave the country if he loses, suggesting on Twitter that Biden had the members of SEAL Team 6 murdered after failing to kill Osama bin Laden, who is, according to this theory, still alive, and claiming the military has some sort of secret aquatic weapon.
Everybody is envious. We have the hydrosonic missiles that you used to hear about. We didn't have them because other countries were stealing our plans from the Obama administration. but we now have hydrosonic missiles.
Are you sure you don't mean hypersonic? Not hydrosonic? Are you confusing the U.S. military with Aquaman?
We have hydrosonic missiles, folks. They can talk to dolphins, fish. That's how we recruited the Navy SEALs.
We're watching a deeply dangerous man, supported by a deeply dangerous party, unravel at the prospect of losing power. They don't seem to care who they hurt or who gets sick in the process, but it's in our power to stop him by voting to repudiate him in overwhelming numbers. And if we succeed, this time next year, he'll be going from country to country asking people,
"Will you please like me?"
This has been A Closer Look.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Our guest tonight is a United States Senator from Minnesota and a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Please welcome back to the show, Senator Amy Klobuchar. Nice to see you, Senator. How are you?
I'm great, Seth. Good to see you. Welcome to my office.
It's lovely to be in your office. Thank you for finally inviting me. I want to talk about the Senate Judiciary Committee. And before I actually get to the job at hand that you had in front of you, what was it like being in the same room with senators who had recently tested positive for COVID, as well as ones who just refused to get tested?
Well, not a major party there. It was... you know, for me, it's really personal, Seth, because my husband got really sick with COVID early on. He was in the hospital for a week. He had severe pneumonia on oxygen. And I just think you can't mess around with this stuff. And at the same time, Mitch McConnell closed down the Senate. They went forward with this hearing. And so that, again, just gets to the whole point. This just hasn't been normal. It's not normal to do this in the middle of a pandemic when the Senate's closed down. It wasn't normal to do it when you've got a president that's tweeting out, "I want 9 justices so they can count my ballots." That was the situation that we were in that hearing. But you got to do your job, and that's what I did.
Well, you did refer to it as a sham, and yet you also refer to the fact that you have to do your job. How do you sort of approach preparing for a hearing like this that, you know, obviously has a different precedent than what we've seen in the past?
Well, I think we knew that it wasn't going to be some big procedural trick. We didn't have those to use. We're trying our best. And we also knew it might not be a cross-examination that would matter here. What mattered is that they had plopped this down in the middle of a presidential election. And so the case, we had the platform to be made, this matters to you. People out there in America, this matters in a big way. There's going to be a case about the Affordable Care Act that could strip you of your insurance if you have a pre-existing condition. Supreme Court decisions aren't just some, as my colleagues on the Republican side were trying to say, are like some dormant karma clause, and all we're going to be thinking about is some strange procedural issues. No, Supreme Court has decided who you can marry and if you can use contraception and where your kids can go to school. Their decisions matter.
It seemed as though, undeniably an intelligent person, Amy Coney Barrett, and it seemed to be the way she used her intelligence the most was by failing to answer any questions that would pin her down. But it was surprising that she wouldn't even take a position on something you asked her about, voter intimidation. Is it frustrating in the asking of that question to know that she's probably not going to answer it?
Well, actually, I wasn't sure that she wasn't, because it was not about a court decision. It's actually a law on the books, a federal law on the books, that says that you can't intimidate or attempt to intimidate voters. That makes sense. And so I was simply asking her about that, an initial question saying, okay, you can't intimidate voters. And she said, I can't answer that. And it's very scary, given that we have a president that, you know, won't agree that we should have a peaceful transition of power. And it's undermining our democracy by going after mail-in ballots, like you pointed out earlier in the show. And that's why this matters so much, to have a justice that understands how fundamental voting is to our democracy.
You obviously, I would imagine, put a lot of preparation into the questions that you want to ask someone who's up for a job that's important. But you also, more often than not, follow Senator Ted Cruz. And I would imagine how he uses his time then affects how you have to use yours.
Yes, this is my lot in life on that committee. And how many times I listened to him, and at first you have the panic. I had such a nice thing I was going to say about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and now I have to throw it all out. But then you always think right before it starts, I got this. Because he says so many outrageous things. Just a few weeks ago, he said that it was Joe Biden who didn't respect our democracy and wasn't going to respect the results of the election, when Donald Trump says that nearly every single day. And so it makes it sort of a nice setup, and I can make the case for not just democracy, but also for reason and for getting things done and everything else. But yes, I do come right after him on the committee.
It doesn't seem like there's any reason to think that Amy Coney Barrett is not going to be a Supreme Court justice at this point. If that comes to pass, as I think we all expect it will now, what role does the Senate play moving forward insofar as putting in place protections for things that might now be challenged legally with a 6-3 conservative majority on the court?
Well, first of all, Seth, we have a whole nother week in front of us, and I really do recommend people who don't think we should be replacing Justice Ginsburg with this conservative justice to call their Republican senators and tell them. But then after that, if that does happen, there's an election in front of us, and every single person should have a plan to vote. And no matter how much they try to not get you to vote, like having one ballot box in Texas and every county and all of those things they're trying to do, find a way to vote. And then if we win, and if we can not just win the White House, but also the Senate, we're going to be able to put some of these things into law, which was your question. Protecting women's rights, making sure that campaign finance law works better, doing something to protect your health care. But we can't do that if we don't win this election. So that's why I think there is a major, major connection between their decision to ram through a justice right now and the fact that we have an election just a few weeks away.
I want to talk to you more about that election, and we will be right back with more from Senator Amy Klobuchar. Welcome back to Late Night. We are talking to Senator Amy Klobuchar. It did seem as though one of the things we lost to some degree in the rush to fill this vacancy was sort of lacked the time to properly reflect back on Ruth Bader Ginsburg's life. I assume as a fellow lawyer, she meant a great deal to you as a trailblazer in this field.
She did. I mean, she was someone that never gave up. You know, she was told women shouldn't go to law school. She graduates one in her class. She is told that she shouldn't argue cases in front of a Supreme Court because a man could get better decisions. And she won 5 out of 6. She ends up on the court as an icon into her 80s with her own hashtag, Notorious RBG. And I was reminded of this. My daughter actually went with me to a party, and Justice Ginsburg was there. And we took a picture of the three of us, and she came to me. My daughter was like a first year in college. Comes to me afterwards, she goes, Mom, I got to put this on my Facebook, Notorious RBG, so cool. But I hope you don't mind I cut you out, Mom. I cut you out of the photo because she's just so cool. But to think of
Here's the photo right there.
Oh, there it is.
And this is how it looked on social media.
Yeah, that's about it. That's exactly right. And they have matching glasses. But I think the other thing about the justice is, which I said at the hearing, because I think people who are dispirited by what the Republicans are doing right now have to remember that when Justice Ginsburg wrote her dissents, and the rabbi said this at her memorial service in the Capitol, they weren't cries of defeat. They were blueprints for the future. And that's what this election is. And that's what she stood for.
I want to talk about election night, and you and some of your colleagues put out a report basically preparing people for how and what might happen on election night, that we might not have a result early on, that we obviously have a president who is already trying to sow a level of distrust in the results. What is, if you could just sort of summarize for us, what would you think is the best course of action for people watching the returns coming in?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing, I'm going to be in Minnesota. And so he has specifically said in my state, he's never coming back there if he loses. So I'm just waiting for that moment because we're winning in Minnesota. And then the second thing that night is people have to understand that we're not going to know the results in some states, maybe including in some of the Senate races. Every state's different. It's not just when their ballots are due. It's also how they count them. So you'll have states like Florida, which actually will count them early and we may know right away. But then you'll have, unless it's really close, then you'll have states like Pennsylvania and Wisconsin that are starting to count the day the ballots come in. And so you're going to have differences in each state. And I think our message, and Bernie's worked on this with me a lot, our message is it's okay that we don't know every state. We want to make sure that every single vote is counted. And we don't want Donald Trump to be making some claim just because a bunch of mail-in ballots haven't been counted yet, because that's the way the law works, that there's something wrong with that. So we just want people to be ready for that.
Do you have a personal plan for how you're going to watch and consume media on election night?
Probably I'll be in my home state, as I said, at my house, you know, with my own little signs, whatever, just like everyone else. We may have a small gathering in Minnesota, but I think a lot of this for me is holding Donald Trump to his words. He said he's never coming back again. So I'm going to have to get some swag for him or some kind of, you know, going away gift.
Yeah.
And I think that the whole thing for people to remember is we can think of that night, but if you're just making that plan and you don't have a plan to vote, a big mistake. Because I was on a call with a bunch of kids and I said, how many of you voted? And they, like 10 of them raised their hand. I go, okay, get off this Zoom call right now. Like, just vote. That's what people have to do.
You mentioned COVID and how it affected your family personally and the fact that there is not right now any reason to believe there's going to be any more relief before the election. Do you feel as though your colleagues across the aisle in the Senate have ignored how this is affecting the American people right now?
Yes. I think it's part of their denial. Their leader of their party, you know, got COVID and walked into the White House and defiantly took off his mask while he was still contagious. And to me, that photo says it all. And then they have had a bill on their desk. It's called the HEROES Act and different versions of it that Speaker Pelosi has passed that has the adequate money for testing, that has the help for state and local. And mostly this last version that passed the House, restaurants, stages, that's a bill that I lead. It's a bipartisan bill that actually helps some of our smaller theaters and music stages, so important in every town in America, not just New York City, small towns and mid-sized towns like Moorhead, Minnesota. And so they have literally let all of those bills sit. And all they've offered us is just basically things that wouldn't really get our economy to where it should be. So I have no idea why they have chosen to disregard the needs of America while moms are balancing their kids on their knees and their laptop on their desk and seniors are isolated. It's unbelievable to me, but I guess we'll have to wait and see what the suburban women say. Because Seth, I was watching that earlier on your show. I grew up in the suburbs, okay? I know what a lot of suburban women think right now. This yes. is just not right. It's not normal. And they want a president, which, as you point out, they can wake up every morning and not worry that they have to turn off the TV because they don't want their kids to watch what the president's saying.
Well, it's certainly going to be an interesting couple of weeks or so. Thank you so much for making the time for us, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, it was great to be on. Thank you.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night Podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.